Well, we're going to continue this week in our study of the sower sows the word. But actually, the part that we're focusing on right now is the parables, two of them really, that Jesus taught at the end of that. And let me just read it again. I think it's good every week for us to hear this parable. And if you want to look it up in your Bible or follow along, it's Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now let's stop for a minute. So is the kingdom of God. This is how the kingdom works. And he's been having me teach on this for weeks, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be, but I'm going to keep teaching it as long as he keeps prompting me to. But the kingdom of God works this way. And if we don't understand this, he's going, well, how will you understand any of the parables? This is how the kingdom works. It's as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, when he has spent most of the day here teaching this parable, first he taught it to the multitudes, and then his disciples, they wanted some more explanation. They said, we're not sure we understand this. So we have record where he explained it in more detail to them. But then he adds these two parables. This is the first one here at the end, to make sure they understand what he's saying. Now, we've been teaching on this for weeks, and if you have not heard the preceding messages, I believe they started about June the 13th, I'm not sure, but right in there. I believe the first one in this series was titled The Full Corn in the Ear. So from then till now, we've been teaching on this subject. And we've learned some astounding things. First off, if you've been following along, you heard me teach about the elm tree, and that was many years ago, but from a tiny little seed came this giant tree that it would take a Gary and a half just to reach around the trunk of it. And I was familiar with that tree from its very beginning to when it, many years later, it died. And I had the pleasure of cutting it down with a chainsaw and then slicing it up into lengths and then splitting it with a 16-pound sledge and metal wedges. I hauled away pickup loads of elm tree. And I, while I'm doing that, I'm going, where did all this tree come from? Where did all this substance come from? I know it didn't come out of that little bitty seed. It had to come out of the earth. And see, that's exactly what Jesus says in this parable. He said, the kingdom of God works that way. He says, the earth bringeth forth fruit. The earth brings forth the elm tree, not the seed. And we've been studying that. See, the seed has the image. In fact, while we're at it now, I haven't really taught much on the second parable. Let's go ahead and leapfrog over to it today. Now, there'll be more on this to come. This is commonly called mustard seed faith. And before I even read it, most of you know what it says already. And see, the way I grew up, they always said, all you need is a little faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and you can move the mountain. Well, they're sort of paraphrasing what Jesus said, but they're missing the whole point. Because if you study what Jesus was never impressed with little faith. How is it you have so little faith? Why couldn't we cast it out? One place he says because of your unbelief. Another place the actual Greek says because of the littleness of your faith. And he was never impressed with little faith. And so I knew something was wrong with that understanding I received growing up in church as a child. Now, it is true that it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to move the mountain, but that's just not what he's teaching. So let's see what he is teaching and keep it in the context of everything that we've learned out of Mark chapter 4. So here's the second parable, and it's Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 30, and we'll read through 32. And he said, whereto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Like, how does this work? What is something in the natural we could compare it with? Well, it's like a grain of mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. In other words, this is about the smallest seed you can find. Many years ago, somebody sent me a little pendant that had a single mustard seed, the kind they have in Israel, in a little clear glass droplet thing. That thing, you had to look at it. What? It's in there? It was about the size of a grain of pepper. But it's a seed. And it's so tiny. But notice verse 32, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, the mustard plant, I've done a little research on this. Whoops. The mustard plant that they were familiar with in Israel is different than the mustard plant we have here in the Americas. Our mustard plant gets to be about belt high, but the one they have there really grows at full maturity. It can be up to 15 feet tall. And it all starts with this tiny little grain. Looks like a pepper grain, but it's really a seed. Now, what is mustard seed faith? Well, the little seed has no power. The little seed needs to recognize, really, it's nothing. The seed is not the important thing. The important thing is the image that's on the inside of the seed. And that's the whole Word of God. God's Word is full of images. God is called the God of hope. If you need healing, there's hope in God's Word. You can be healed. You need salvation, there's hope in God's Word. You can be saved. You need deliverance, there's hope in God's Word. On and on. There is no problem you'll ever have in this life that the answer is not already in the Word of God. I'm already preaching good, but barely got started. That's what mustard seed faith is. And when you first start off, it may seem like nothing. I mean, this is just a verse. It's, maybe 10 sentences or something in the Word of God. But Jesus says, don't be moved by that. Don't be moved by your own size either. The power is in the image. And the secret here is the parable before it. That's not a secret. What he's laying out plainly to us, the foundation is this. Every promise of every word of God, every promise has an image on the inside of it. You are the soil. In Luke's account, it plainly says the ground is an honest and good heart. And we've already covered one objection because, I would say, I'm not sure, I was raised also with that quoting the Old Testament, the heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? And that's an accurate quote, but it's really from the prophet Jeremiah talking about the unregenerate heart of man. And Ezekiel, in his prophecies, he foretold what God was going to do at the new birth. Here's how gracious our Father is. He says, okay, I see the problem here. You have an unbelieving heart that came from Adam. I tell you what I'm going to do. At the new birth, I am going to take the same DNA of the heart of the ultimate believer, which is my son, and instead of you being birthed from Adam this time, when you get born again, you're going to be birthed from the last Adam, my son. Your heart will be the same DNA as his heart, the ultimate believer. That's why now I say you were born to believe, and I mean born again. When you got born again, you were born to believe. That heart in you is good ground. Now, you may have cluttered it up with too much activity. Dave says you really don't need 5 TVs. You may payments and things that occupy your time. He says, stones can be removed, thorns can be removed, hard ground can be plowed up, rain can come, praying in the Holy Ghost, and your ground, listen, you got good ground in you. And Jesus is telling us how this kingdom worked. He says, listen, what matters is the image that's in the Word of God. Don't be looking at your size. Don't be looking at how big the giant is or anything else. No, no, no. He said, have faith like a grain of mustard seed. Understand, I don't care how small it starts. There is an image on the inside of the Word of God that if you keep it in contact with that believing heart that God put in you, you will get your fruit every single time. Now, what I'm saying is life-changing. Listen, blind, you don't have to stay blind anymore. What a statement. What a statement. Gary, you don't have to walk bent over like a 100-year-old man anymore. I have promises in my word for you. The secret, I keep saying secret, it's not a secret. Jesus is, well, it's probably, it is to the world, I guess, but it's a mystery that God fully intends for us as his children to not only understand, but to walk in the fullness of this. Not only to walk in the fullness of it for ourselves. See, right now I'm talking about my health. I'm talking about maybe your health. We're talking about maybe you need prosperity. Maybe you need your children to come all the way into God and get on fire for God. Whatever, you know, maybe you need deliverance from drugs. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But I do know this. There is a promise, multiple promises in the Word of God. There is hope for you. There is help for you. You do not have to stay the way you are. Let me say it the way God said it. Here's his definition of godly hope. What has been is not what shall be. You may have been crippled. You do not have to be crippled. You may have walked stooped over. You do not have to continue walking stooped over. Your children may be in rebellion to God. They don't have to remain in rebellion to God. How would those things get changed? The kingdom of God works like this. Here's the kingdom of God. And he's teaching us line upon line, precept upon precept, how to do this. And again, right now I'm seeing that rusty post in my mind. And if you didn't hear the lesson I did 2 or 3 weeks ago about the rusty post, and how important that is to understand your ground, the heart in you is always trying to grow the Word of God. But what, you know, you got, it can't grow it if you don't sow it. Boy, there's a sentence. your heart can't grow it if you don't sow it. And so many things. I just can't, see, we're at the point now, if I try and review everything that we've said up till now, we'll be out of time again. And today we're going to focus on the imagination. I'm just telling you, this is something I've learned in recent years. Had I known this, really known it, in the early days, I think life and ministry would have been quite different. And God did everything he could trying to get it across to me. You know, God has a problem here with this last quarter inch of bone right here. trying to get my understanding to be fruitful. And thank God for praying in tongues and Pastor Dave teaching us to pray in tongues. And one thing about it, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I have no quitting sense, and I'll keep praying right through everything and meditating the Word. But I want to talk today about the imagination. So I'm going to get my notes out, and I want to go over some things with you. Now, first off, Proverbs 23:7. Let's just start today with this foundation. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Boy, if there's a law of God right there, it is. As he thinketh in his heart. Now notice how that's worded, not in your head. In his heart means at your core. See, this is deeper than just knowledge. This is your core belief. Listen, I've been at this a long time. I've been preaching healing a long time. I've received some supernatural healings in my lifetime. I was given 6 months to live with melanoma cancer back in my 40s. Well, you can tell I'm not in my 40s now. they gave me 6 months to live back then. Thank God for the foundational teachings we had received at that point on faith. Or I would never have even been around to ever find out there was a Dave Roberson on the earth. We found him a few years after that. But what I'm saying is, I can quote, I have had supernatural healings. I can quote scripture to you. You and I could have a little contest here. You may beat me, I don't know. But by his stripes I was healed. I am the Lord thy God. I will bless thy bread and bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We could just, himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. We could just go on and on and on. And I can have head knowledge of all these scriptures, and in my heart, still believe I'm sick. Still believe I'm going to die. Still believe You know, I remember one time, well, it was that battle with melanoma cancer, and Sue and I were doing our best to believe, and to be honest with you, we weren't real strong in the faith. We barely knew the foundational principles of what faith is. And I was doing my best to believe God, because 6 months is not very long. You know, and the doctors are telling me, you know, we're going to do it. You said, young man, if I was you, you know, we're going to do our best for you. We're going to send you to MD Anderson and hospital and do our best for you. But young man, my advice to you is I'd get my affairs in order. I don't think you've got more than 6 months. Well, man, you talk about smack, get your attention, you know, and we're doing our best to believe God. And I don't want to retell that whole story. But I remember I'd quote scriptures and I'm confessing the word and I'm doing everything that I know to do. But then I would catch myself in, now I'm going to say daydreaming. I could say in my imagination. I could say in my inner thoughts. I could say in my heart. I would catch myself thinking about my own funeral. I remember one time I caught myself thinking, here I am, I'm trying to believe God not to die. Okay. And I caught myself thinking, you know, at my funeral, I really liked that song, Daddy's Hands. Daddy's hands were hard as nails, but there was always love in Daddy's hands. Yeah, I want him to play. And it dawned on me, I'm planning my funeral. In my heart wasn't convinced yet. I had head knowledge. I could spout healing scripture to you. I had my little white Charles Capps book. Thank God for it. We've sent those out by the thousands over the years. I had my little God's Healing Power book, you know, and I could quote scripture. I could read them, and a lot of them I had memorized at that point. But here in my heart, I would catch myself planning my own funeral. What does that tell you? What's the, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, I thank God for a godly wife, and boy, she supported me and prayed with me, and we did everything we knew to do. And thank God, he just had mercy on me. And as you can tell, we made it through that. And like I say, I'm 75 now. That's been a long 6 months from my early 40s. Okay. I remember when we were believing for our kids. And they were all three in rebellion at the same time. Thank God that doesn't have to be the case. I know parents that have done a better job than me, and none of their kids went in rebellion. Mwah. I applaud you, really. Praise God for you. You know, but God's a good parent, and Cain went in rebellion. That's my out. Okay. Adam went into rebellion. God's a good parent. But anyway, our kids did. And Sue and I were doing what we knew to do and quoting scripture and calling those things that be not as though they were and making intercession, doing everything we knew to do. But I'd be lying if I'd tell you there. So I'd catch myself thinking about them in prison. I'd catch myself thinking about them on drugs and thinking about them getting raped and just, oh, because of the assault at the time was just relentless. But again, God's mercy, the truth of his word prevailed. They've all three been serving God for decades and decades, and they're still serving God today. Well, thank God. Hallelujah. But had I really known in those days how to employ the imagination, how do you change how you think in your heart? How do you change that, see? So let me just review here just a little bit. Proverbs again, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, in his heart means at your core. It's deeper than head knowledge. This is your core belief. Now, it's way deeper than logic. Now, I'm going to give you a universal truth. Now, I'm going to prove it to you just real quick. If you write anything down, write this down, because it's absolutely the truth. The mind, the way God made our mind, you could say soul, you could say intellect, but I like the word mind. The way God made our mind, your mind makes no distinction between a real and a vividly imagined event. Let me say it again. Your mind makes no distinction between a real and a vividly imagined event. Now, that's just real easy to prove. You ever met someone who's claustrophobic? I'm not claustrophobic. I can be closed in and squished by lots of people, and I hardly ever get any kind of sense of claustrophobic. But there are people that have claustrophobia. And so they get into a little elevator, and it's a perfectly fine working elevator. Maybe they're even the only person in it. But maybe somebody else gets in it, and they start feeling a little bit restricted. Now, a person with claustrophobia, that really has claustrophobia, he'll begin to thinking that he's closed in, and it's getting smaller and smaller, and there's no air to breathe. And he'll start breathing harder, and his blood pressure will go up. And did you know people have actually died from claustrophobia, being in a perfectly fine working elevator where there's nothing wrong at all? And logically, there is absolutely no reason to be in fear. It's a perfectly good elevator. There's plenty of air, oxygen to breathe. There's not a thing wrong. Nobody's threatening you. But see, as they think in their heart, if you think the imagination doesn't have an effect on your body, think about that. There is no danger at all, except in the heart. And in the heart, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And then they can't breathe and literally die. All right. Let's give you another one. My daughters have always liked taking their daddy to see scary movies. I'm talking about something like Halloween or, you know, where, you know, Scream, where there's a killer, you know. I'm a very visual person. I mean, I get into these things, you know. So let's talk about the heart overriding logic, see, because they like to take me to a scary movie, and I know logically I am in an air-conditioned theater. My daughters are right here with me. We're munching on popcorn, probably drinking soda pop. I know that I am an absolute, logically, I could write a doctoral dissertation about how I am in no danger whatsoever. But I'm in this movie. You don't understand. I'm in this thing, and I'm perceiving. And we're walking down the sidewalk, and it's dark. And there's a tree. And then suddenly, the killer with a big butcher knife jumps out from behind the tree, goes, ah! And my popcorn goes, wow! And the girls are laughing, going, Daddy's at it again. In my heart, my imagination, what I was really perceiving on the inside, overrode all of my nice little boxed-up intellectual knowledge. And popcorn goes everywhere. I'm going to mention one more. I want to give one more paragraph before I mention this next one. I'm going to keep it clean, but it is going to be a little bit adult. But I'll keep it clean. I don't think there's any reason to have to send the children out of the room if there's children there. But listen, what we're talking about, it only works if the thing being imagined is done so very vividly, strong. If that same movie, get the same scenario, I'm sitting in the movie theater, there's my kids, same exact movie, I've never seen it before, munching on popcorn. The only difference is I've got a friend that came with me, maybe an adult friend, and I'm only half-heartedly watching the movie. I mean, it's playing, I've got my attention somewhat. I could tell you later what's going on. Oh, yeah, there was a killer behind the tree, jumped out, he had a butcher knife. But see, if I'm not vividly imagining, if I'm like having a conversation with you, which I shouldn't do in a movie anyway, but I'm trying to make a point. If my attention is diverted and I'm not vividly imagining this thing, when that killer jumps out behind the tree, I'll notice it, but the popcorn won't go flying. Why? I'm not in the thing. I mean, my intellect is a little bit engaged, but I'm not engaged with my heart. Boy, engaging with the heart. That's what you have to do with the Word of God. You've got to engage the Word of God with the heart. One of my great mentors, Norval Hayes, faith is of the heart, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I appreciate Norval. But see, Here's the one I said I'm going to mention. We've mentioned claustrophobia. We've mentioned like a scary movie or any kind of scary scenario. I'm going to mention one more. I want to use the word pornography just for a moment. See, but pornography is a multi-billion dollar business because it works. And it's based on exactly this principle of the vivid imagination. Listen, a casual glance at a beautiful woman will not normally cause any kind of physical reaction in a man. You just, oh, she's pretty, you know. She walks on by. Doesn't produce any reaction in your body, a casual observation, you know. No. Pornography works because it engages the imagination. The same way that you're in that scary movie, you become in what you're seeing. And pretty soon, endorphins and other chemicals, pleasure chemicals, start being released, and it'll even cause reaction in your bodies. And that's why pornography is a multi-billion dollar business. They understand this principle in reverse, that the mind makes no distinction between a real and a vividly imagined event. But it's got to be vividly imagined. It's not, you can't just half-heartedly give your attention to it and make it work. That won't work. Not in the movies, not pornography, even claustrophobia. I mean, you gotta focus. Okay. Now, in the same way, the Word of God has to be very vividly imagined as being true in order to cause a physical reaction that lines up with the Word. This is the process of the image, like the seed coming in contact with the soil. Let me say the image coming in contact with the earth, okay? The Word of God coming in contact with your heart. Your heart is the soil, okay? The truth that's in that image, okay, you want to see mustard seed faith? That image, you have to, in order for the heart to engage and this power to flow, where the substance flows into it from the kingdom of God within you, we'll get to that in a minute, it has to be vividly imagined. It's got to be something so real. Anyway, we'll get to more of that in just a minute. Let me turn the page here. Hallelujah. Now, let's just take one promise. It's a few verses, but it's really one promise. Look this one up in your Bible. This one's important. Now, of course, they're all important. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. It says, "My son, attend to my words." Now, we're talking about the Word of God, okay? "Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine," notice, "heart." Not just the mind, the heart. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Oh, that's great. That's really good. But I'm dying of cancer. Let me summarize. Let me leave out a bunch of stuff. Maybe the first time you've ever heard this. My words are health to all your flesh. Yeah, but I got cancer in this part of my flesh. My word is health to all your flesh. Well, I've read that before. I've read that many times. I've heard that preached, but you don't understand, preacher. You don't get it, preacher. Gary, what's wrong with you? I know that's in there, but you don't understand. I have cancer in my flesh. And I'm going to come back with, His word is health to all your flesh. But the in-between part there is, see, health to your flesh is the fruit. That's what you don't have right now is the health part. Okay? You've got the seed part. You've got his word. Okay? But you don't have the health. But the promise is, if you learn how to plant this, like, here's how the kingdom of God works. You take the seed, you put it in the ground, you sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up. You don't know how it works. You don't need to know how it works. The farmer doesn't know how, he doesn't have to be a botanist to plant corn and get a corn crop. But you sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring up, and the earth, the ground, that heart in you, will bring forth the fruit of itself. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. We'll get to that more in a minute, but Christ is in you. Romans 8:9, I believe it is, says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you have the Spirit which is of Christ in you, and he's always been the creator. The kingdom of God is within you. I heard one preacher say, or more than one say one time, said, if God doesn't have it for you, he'll make it for you. Well, that's exactly true. He's still the creator. So let's look at that verse again. See, because what we want to do is jump all the way from my words are health to your flesh. Well, it is. But you got to do the in-between part. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Hear. You know, Jesus said, to him that hath an ear, let him hear. Well, everybody had ears. I mean, everybody heard physically what Jesus was saying. He's not talking about having physical ears. You got to hear with your heart. You got to hear what he's saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. What eyes is he talking about here? Your physical? He's talking about the eyes of your heart. He's talking about the eyes of your imagination. You've got to start seeing yourself well. It's health to all your flesh, but you got to keep it in your eyes. You've got to see health, not plan your funeral. You got to see yourself doing stuff again. I've been on so many visits to hospitals over the many years. You know, I've been in ministry a long time. And, you know, our track record is getting better, getting people healed and out of the hospitals. Not always, but getting better all the time. And I learned a long time ago to try and help them get an image of health. And because, you know, it's bad and the doctor's report is bad and they're not getting any encouragement hardly at all. And I remember saying, hey, what did you used to like to do? What do you have a hobby? Do you have something that's fun that you like to do? And with different people, it'd be different things. I remember one guy in particular said, oh, I love to go snow skiing. I used to love to go to the mountains in wintertime and ski the mountains, you know. I said, would you like to do that again? Oh, yeah, I'd like to, but, you know, he's thinking his life is over. And I'm going, no, I want you to start seeing yourself skiing the mountains again. You got to see past this thing. You're going to come out of this bed. You're going to get healed. You're coming out of here. Do you understand? You need to start seeing yourself skiing the mountains again or golfing or whatever it is that something. Don't stay in the bed and see yourself dying in the bed. That's what I was doing. I'd sit there and didn't even realize I was doing it. And I'm planning out my own funeral. Dear God, walk the floor and confess healing verses and then just relax my guard just for a moment. And here I am. I didn't even realize I was doing it. I'd come to myself and I'm going, what am I doing? Planning my funeral for crying out loud. Okay. So you got to do the in-between parts. Incline thine ear. Don't be listening. The doctors, by law, they have to give you the natural report. That's their job. But don't, I hope to God the news isn't all you listen to nowadays. If you do, you're going to be schizophrenic. You're going to be paranoid. I mean, you'll be the most depressed person walking around here. You have to have a little bit, you know, to function. But dear God, don't be listening to that stuff all the time. Don't be listening to the negative all the time. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Don't let my words depart from your eyes. See yourself healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless your bread and bless your water. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Every time you take communion, every time you take communion, remember my body broken for you. By his stripes I was healed. Glory to God. And he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart, not just your mind. See it with your heart. Start getting the emotions. I'm telling you, one day it'll click and you'll go, I'm not going to die of this. I'm coming off of this bed. I'm getting out of this hospital. I'm coming off of this. I'm coming out of my bedroom. I'm not going to die here in my bedroom. I'm coming out of here. I'm going to go skiing again or whatever it is. Start seeing beyond the circumstances, see? For they are life, his words now, they are life to those that find them. And they are health to all your flesh. The very next thing we're going to talk about is meditating day and night. That one sentence, his words are health to all your flesh. If I had a, I got a little box of mints here. Let's just say this is some kind of medicine. I have discovered, we'll go on TV and do like a lot of them do, you know. We have a miracle pill for you. We have gone to the Amazon. We have found the magic berry. We have extracted the nutrients and we have come up with this pill. And I'm telling you, for $99.99 a month, we'll send you this. All you got to do is take this pill and it'll be health to all your flesh. Are you kidding me? You better have a bunch of people working for you and a lot of ways to produce those pills, because the orders are coming. People want to be healed. Did you know that is exactly what God just said about his word? Look at it. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. Attend to my words, and then just skip down to the end. Attend to my words. Now do everything in the middle. And if you do that, they are health to all your flesh. And guess what? His word is free. And the finished work of Jesus. Free to us, costly to him, but free to us. And he's going, if you'll take my word, okay. Instead of this, if you'll take my word, I can pick it up with one hand. If you'll take my word, it's health to all your flesh. Now that's what God's word says. Now the key is the in-between part, the meditation, keeping it in your, before your eyes, keeping it in your ears, finding it really, and keep it in the midst of your heart. See it. This is the imagination. This is the part of you that sees before you can see. You see with the eyes of your heart before you see with your natural eye. My dad, he saw that shade tree. Again, I'm back to the elm tree. Sorry, guys. It just works. But he saw that shade tree in the middle of that pasture before there was any tree. What was there? A little sapling about maybe that tall, you know? That's what was there. But Dad wasn't seeing that. He was seeing, his hope was for a shade tree that did not yet really exist. But from the ground came the substance to produce that very tree. All it needed was the image and the seed. All your heart needs is the image and the word. And if you do exactly what that verse just says, it's health to how much of your flesh? Health to all your flesh. All means all. Can't say it any better than that. That's good enough for today. Okay, let's talk about meditation, because that's really what he's talking about. From my words in verse 20 to health to all your flesh, verse 22, in between that is meditation. That's what he's talking about. Let's look at a couple of other places where it talks about meditation. Now go to Psalms chapter 1. And Dave has taught, Pastor Dave Roberson, he has so many good teaching series on how to meditate the Word of God. I remember the first one that I ever got was called Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. And had I known the heart of the prayer center, we didn't have any money at the time, and I couldn't afford to buy a pair of socks, much less any album. Had I known their heart, they would have just given it to me if I'd asked, but I did not know that, so I didn't ask. I remember when we did finally get that series. Other than the message of praying in tongues, learning how to meditate God's word has changed my life probably as much as anything. And when I heard that series, and I listened to those tapes so much, I literally wore one of them completely out. They lovingly replaced it for me. But when I really understood what Dave was teaching about how to meditate the word of God, At home, I was always a bookaholic and a tapeaholic. I had 9 books in my little library there about how to meditate the Word of God. I threw them all away. Why? They were all wrong, all of them. Dave was telling the truth. If you don't have that series, I got news for you. It's free. You can go to daveroberson.org, go to the series, click on the series thing, scroll down all of those. If you haven't heard all of those, you ought to hear all of them more than once. But scroll down till you come to meditation, imagery, and delivery. It'll change your life. But in there, he uses Psalms chapter 1, you know, the man that doesn't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or sit in the way of the scornful and so forth, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, in verse 2 of Psalms chapter 1, it says this, Psalms 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, before I mention anything else, come on down to Psalms chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll never forget the day I found this out. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And one day I was doing some kind of little word study for something or other, and I found out to my amazement that the word meditate in Psalms chapter 1 verse 2 was exactly the same Hebrew word as imagine. In Psalms 2, verse 1. I remember sitting there with my open Hebrew-Greek lexicon going, what? What? You can substitute those two words, meditate and imagine? That wasn't on Dave's series. This was something I learned afterwards. Listen, imagining. Using your imagination is part of meditation. To the point, the Hebrew language makes no distinction between the two things. I remember when my grandson Cole was about 5 years old or so, and he, you know, him and Grandpa would love to play, and we're out on his back patio at his house, and we're just sitting there. It was a hot day, I remember, and there was a tree there pretty close, and pretty good-sized tree. Cole leaned over to me, and he says, Papa, can you see the lion in that tree? And I'm looking and I'm going, Cole, I'm sorry, son. I don't see a lion in that tree. And he kind of does the 5-year-old eye roll, you know, and it's like, Papa, can you pretend? Oh, see, in Cole, in that little boy, was a whole kingdom in his imagination. And if I wanted to be involved there, I'm going to have to engage my imagination. Well, listen to me. The kingdom of God is not imaginary. The kingdom of God, the realm of the spirit, is more real than this physical realm that we live in. And how I can say that with all confidence is this. That realm created this realm. And by definition, the creator is greater than the createe. And when you're using your imagination, when it comes to the Word of God, it's not the same as pretending with a little 5-year-old boy. What you're doing is engaging the God-given creative part of you that can see godly hope before your natural eye can see the literal thing. God, that's good. That's really good. That's like my dad. He had that ability with everything. You know, I told you before, he only had an 8th grade education, but he taught himself how to read blueprints, and he became the superintendent for Manhattan Construction Company, and also a different time. At the time, it was Tulsa Rig and Reel. I think later it became Flint Co. But anyway, here's a man with an 8th grade education that taught himself how to read blueprints on pretty good-sized buildings. And he could see with these inner eyes. He'd look at the blueprint, and then he could see what needed to happen. But there's no building, but he could look at the blueprint and then see with his inner eye what had to happen. And the end result, before it's over, anybody can see it with their natural eye, but he could see it before. Well, that's the imagination. That's the part of us that sees before you can see. I don't know how else to put it. Now, did you know you're already expert at this? What? You're already an expert at this, because worry is meditation in reverse. It's exactly the same principle. You know, see, well, Gary, I listen, I have kids to raise, or I've got a 9-to-5 job, and I've got two jobs, actually. I got to go to my 9-to-5 job, and I've got to go to my second job after that. Gary, I don't have time. What are you saying? That I need to sit around all day and just imagine the Word of God and see myself healed? You're not going to get away with that with me. I've been around here too long. Listen, I know full well you can be doing your job, working on your job, and worrying all day long. Oh, God, what are we going to do about that problem? Now, you're doing your job. You're functioning, whatever it is. You're working with your hands or doing, you know, your accounting, whatever it is you're doing. Mom, you're taking care of kids and changing diapers and all the time thinking, oh, my car doesn't work. And what am I going to do if we don't get that car fixed? And we don't have the money to get that car fixed. And, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. On and on and on. And you know what it is to be occupied with things and worry at the same time? You're already an expert at that. The person that learns to meditate in God's Word day and night, you do have to spend time equipping yourself with the Word of God. And this is where I want to recommend another one of Dave's series called Assimilation. Because meditation only works if you leave everything in a full image. And let Dave teach you all that, okay? But assimilation, you're guaranteed you've got the whole image if you assimilate the whole book. You've got the whole image. Assimilate the whole book. But there is a process. Yes, you're going to have to give time to it, to get it on the inside of you. But Dave says that's the process. Excuse me, and I'm not talking about memorization. Listen, your spirit has capacities way beyond your natural mind. If you will read God's Word, listen to it, input it some way. I don't care if it's on an audio tape. Somehow, get the Word of God on the inside of you. And what you're doing by that process, you are equipping yourself for day and night meditation. And eventually, you'll start meditating on the Word of God the same way you used to worry about the natural circumstances. It's the same thing. And you can do it while you're doing other things. And it's amazing the insight and the revelation and the instruction that will come by way of the Holy Ghost if you'll do that. We're probably not going to get to it today. Maybe eventually we'll get over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Same thing. Meditate day and night. Well, Joshua's a busy guy. I mean, he's leading all of Israel into war. They're going into battles and stuff, but still yet, in order to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish, he had the same instruction, and to meditate the Word of God day and night. Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. And meditate day and night in it. Well, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Most people have circumstances in them that makes it easy to worry. What they don't have in them is the Word of God. But that's what it says. You don't want to walk the same way as the world. You don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't want to take your counsel from the ungodly. Oh, I don't want to do any of that, Brother Gary. Good. Meditate in the Word day and night. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. And it doesn't mean sit there and just keep your eyes fastened to the Word of God. There is a time you may have to give up some TV time, some hobby time. I'll tell you one of the best things, Pastor, well, everything he taught was great, but one of the most beneficial things that Pastor Dave taught, I'm so glad I caught this. See, in the early days, I had no choice. Most of you know my history. I had to pray in the trucks. Well, you can't be reading your Bible while you're driving those trucks. And the kind of trucks I drove were not air-conditioned, nice cabs, quiet in there. They were so loud, you couldn't hear yourself think. I couldn't even listen to cassette tapes or anything in there. I tried taking a Walkman with me. Forget it. The truck was way too loud. You couldn't hear it. So I couldn't input the Word. All I really had in the early days was praying in tongues. Thank God I had a lot of Word in me already. We'd already been Christians for 12 years, and I had a lot of Word in me. Now, but the day came when we're out of the trucks, and now I'm at the ugly building, and I've got some time. And Dave said, listen, one of the best things you can do is while you're praying in other tongues, train yourself to, let me get my Bible, train yourself to read the Word of God softly while you're praying in other tongues. And the reason for softly, when I first started trying to do it, I've got my Bible here, okay? When I first started trying to do it, I was praying too loud. The sound of my own voice was interfering, and I wasn't really getting anything that I was reading. He says, no, he said, it's not the volume of the sound that you're praying. It's the content of the syllables. You can whisper it as long as it's spoken. One person did ask Pastor Dave more than once. Can I just think in an unknown, can I just think the prayers? He says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, can I just think in the unknown tongue? He said, well, does it say that? It doesn't say he that thinks in an unknown tongue. It says he that speaks in an unknown tongue. There's a lot of reasons for that, but one of the reasons is that when you speak it out, you're literally speaking the prayers of the Holy Ghost for your life, and that's where you're authorizing all of those prayers, because you're the one with authority on planet Earth, because you have a body from here. Gosh, there's a lot of teachings in that real quick. But anyway, because you have a body from planet Earth, you have authority while you're on planet Earth, and when you speak, you literally speak those prayers that are being authored, created by the Holy Spirit. You're literally authorizing God's plan for your life. Man, I'm preaching real good right there now. For a love offering of 1995. I'm teasing. But speak it anyway. Hallelujah. I'm like, get back to the train of thought. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Now, remember, the word has the seed. Mustard seed faith really is all about the image that's in the seed. Don't worry about your size compared to Goliath. Don't worry about anything. What matters is the image that's in the seed. Even the littlest seed of all, like the little pepper grain, mustard seed, it doesn't matter. What matters is the image. What you're going to get is the image. Okay? Well, how does it work? You got to get it planted in your heart, not just your head. A lot of people have head knowledge and no faith at all. No results, no fruit, because it never makes it to the heart. All right? Now, the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said that plainly. And he says, don't be looking there and going over there and, the kingdom of God is here and there. No, no, no. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Of course, he's prophesying to after the new birth. But when you get born again, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, I believe it is, says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, are you his? Are you born again? Well, yeah. Then you've got the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. And he's always been the creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. All things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Well, him is in you. In the same way, Adam, the original Adam, was not in you when you were born again. What did you have? You had the DNA, the spiritual DNA of Adam, because you were of Adam. Now you're born of Christ. That old man is dead, buried with Christ, and you have been born again. The DNA, the spiritual DNA on the inside of you is from your Adam now. And Jesus is called the last Adam. Why? Because he's creating a new species from that dead species of Adam. And you're one of them. When you get born again, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. That soil, I saw a little vision, God trying to get me to understand this when he's talking about the heart, and we have a heart now. It's like, you could take a shovel full of the soil from Jesus and take that shovel full and put it in you. You're of the same soil. You're of the same heart. You're of the same spirit. He is your Adam, the same way the first Adam was your Adam that made you a sinner. Christ is your Adam now that makes you righteous. Boy, a lot of good stuff right there. All right, let me look at the time. Okay, we got about 6 minutes. I want to stick with my notes a little bit here because there's some good stuff. Now, it needs to be included for you on this one. So let me read some notes here. The kingdom of God is within you. You plant the seed of the Word of God. That brings the image that's in the Word in contact with the soil of your born-again believing heart. The kingdom within you brings forth the fruit to manifest whatever is in the image that you planted. Now, let's just go back to Proverbs 4. We've already used that one today. Here's an image. Let's use this one. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22 again. Let me read it again. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to them that find them. Now get this, and health to all their flesh. Now what is the fruit? What is the image? And especially if you've been sick, especially if you're crippled, especially if you walk bent over, especially if there's anything wrong, the fruit, once the image comes to maturity, is health to about half of your flesh. What is the image? Health to all my flesh. Well, let's dissect this. First off, my words. They are the seed. That's where the image is. Okay, you've got the image. Health to all my flesh. Okay? Attend. If you look that word up in the Hebrew where it says attend to my words, it means to prick up the ears. Mark it. And mark it well. Jesus would say it this way, to him that has ears, let him hear. Well, he's not talking about physical ears. He said, listen to this now. Pay attention with, listen with your inner ear. Listen with the real you. All right? Then he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Let's say it this way. Don't see anything else but my word. See the end result of what my word says. Not what your circumstances say. See, when I was, I didn't know this very well back in those days. If I'd have known then what I know now, man, I'd have been even more serious about it. Every time I'd catch my mind thinking about a funeral or seeing myself dead or catching myself wondering how's my wife going to be provided for. Every time I'd catch myself doing that, I'd rebuke it. Nope. And I'd come right back to it. Nope. This melanoma's not going to kill me. I'm going to get past this. I'm going to live a long life. With long life, he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Well, I'm not satisfied yet. On and on and on. That's the kind of thing you got to do. You got to see it. You got to see. Last week we talked about Abraham saw past the offering of Isaac before he ever offered Isaac. He already told him before they went up the mountain. He says, me and that boy is going up the mountain. Me and that boy is coming back down the mountain. Boy, he was a young man. But anyway, we're coming back down the mountain. What's he doing there? He is seeing past the offering. He's seeing with his inner eyes. He's imagining. He's seeing it before he can see it. Then it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you do that? That is the imagination right there. Not just your mind, with your heart. I'm telling you, one day something just clicks. Something just clicks. And it's beyond the intellect. It's stronger. It's deeper within you than that. Okay. This is where you see what can't be seen in the natural. This is where you see yourself well and whole. Like in its health to all your flesh. See it. See it on the inside. The words themselves are life. You remember what Jesus said? He said, listen, the words I speak unto you, they are life. They are spirit, and they are life. Remember Hebrews, I wrote it down, Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is quick. That means alive. It's a living thing and powerful. It's full of energy. Remember that from previous lessons? And the end result, you've got to see the end result. Like my dad saw the shade tree before there was a shade tree, you see health to all your flesh. And you see it during that meditation part. And you see it strong. And you see it like it's... That image needs to become more real to you than whatever affliction is going on in your body. I'm already out of time, but I'm going to finish this up. Please give me 2 or 3 more minutes. See, the word, the promise, the image is this. It will produce health to all your flesh. Well, there it is. You're not going to change that. But only if it is vividly imagined long enough to produce the image in the seed. Okay? I'm just going to mention this today. We'll have another lesson or two about this. We're going to talk about conception. See? A young man and woman can be married and try to have a baby, try to have conception. They want a baby. And maybe the first time they try it, it doesn't work. There's no conception. Okay, enough. But see, they got to keep trying with the seed and the ground, the seed in the ground, the seed in the ground. They got to keep trying until conception, because conception hasn't happened yet. Okay, in the natural, we understand that. But once conception takes place, that girl's pregnant. And she's pregnant, whether they do that again or not. They don't have to keep doing that. Why? Well, they probably will. But they don't have to. Why not? Well, she's pregnant. Conception has happened. We're in a different ballgame now. The image and the ground have conceived. There's a growth process now. A woman does not have to keep a woman does not have to repeat the conception process every day. It may take a few attempts before conception occurs, but once conception occurs, now it's a matter of allowing the baby to come to sufficient maturity for birthing. Boy, there's a lot to teach on that. I'm going to finish with this. I did not know any of this really in the early days. When Sue and I, during those days when money was staying away in great abundance, and I had no image of prosperity, I had intellectual knowledge. I could quote you a dozen or more scriptures from memory at that time about, all kinds of, sowing and reaping and about prosperity and different things. I probably could have convinced you I knew what I was doing, or that I really believed it. But in my heart, I had been raised to believe that if you really have God, you can't have anything. And that what was in my heart in abundance, that's how we were. And I'm telling you, money was staying away in great abundance. Man, it was difficult. And finally, God gave me this instruction to take three scriptures and just say them out loud 4 hours a day. Now, I did not know then about incorporating godly hope. I didn't know anything about anything that we've talked about today. So I'm just really using half of what faith is, because now faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, what was not seen was any prosperity, okay? So God gave me this instruction to take. He didn't even tell me which three verses. I got to pick them. It doesn't matter which. You just need two or three. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Finally, and it's a long story, but finally I began doing it. Now I want to tell you, by that method alone, without incorporating hope, or the imagination, let me say it that way, without incorporating the imagination, I had to do that for months. It was months, and did your situation change? Sure did. Kept getting worse. And here I'm. It's 4 hours a day, I'm speaking those three verses. I mean, trust me, even my lightning quick mind had them memorized a long time before the first 4 hours was up. And the devil was beating my brains out, telling me this is doing nothing, it's not accomplishing anything, you're wasting your time, and yada, yada, yada. But I still remember the day when conception happened. See, it took all of that time. I hadn't even started really the growth process yet. I know now, I was trying to have conception. I was just trying to get the Word of God to lodge in my heart. I remember the day. And to this day, I can't describe it any better than I did then. But one of those days, I'm just doing it like I did the day before, and the day before, and the week before, and the month before. I'm just saying those three verses, 3 hours a day, but it's like kerplunk. You ever put a quarter in a vending machine and you hear it go clunk? Something just clunked. I don't mean audibly, but something was deposited. Now, nothing changed on the outside. But I remember when I got home that day, I walked in. And in those days, we kept our bills stacked up on a table. And there was about a foot high of bills that needed to be paid. And I remember I walked right in, walked right over, and I pointed to that stack of bills. And I said, I don't live there anymore. Something had changed in my heart. Now I know it was conception. Gary was pregnant with the Word of God. And our situation was about to change. And looking back on it now, I can tell you, that day marks the bottom financially of our roller coaster ride. And we've been going up ever since. This is how the kingdom of God works. We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye for now.